This time our children's can be dismissed to primary church. If you just want to make your way following Miss Hannah out these doors. And if you'll turn with me in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, starting in verse 4. We'll be there in just a moment. Ashley Bridges is 24 years old, and her goal in life is to live to see her daughter's first birthday. Her doctors have told her it will not happen. Ashley was diagnosed with an aggressive bone cancer when she was 10 weeks pregnant with her second child, Paisley. Chemotherapy was needed, but doctors told her it would almost certainly kill her unborn baby. Here's her quote in a recent interview with CNN. "It wasn't a choice to me. She's first. I'm not going to kill a healthy baby because I'm sick. Her life is just as important as mine, if not more important. I mean, as a mother, my job is to protect my kids." What a beautiful testimony. After Ashley gave birth to Paisley, she found out that her cancer was more aggressive than they even imagined. It had spread throughout her body and into her brain, and she was given months to live. She said she takes goals day by day. Her goal was to make it to Thanksgiving, then Christmas. Now her goal is to make it to her older son's birthday in March. This testimony is a great reminder of the emphasis around our country today in many churches. And that is, today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. A day when we delve into the important topics, the important matters of abortion and euthanasia, the days that we express outrage over genocide and murder, the day that we stand against sex trafficking and stand for the rights of the oppressed. This year is especially important in the light of all that's going on in our country. The sanctity of life, specifically in individual races, is at the forefront of our attention. The tragic deaths of Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown have forced us to examine our own hearts, and many of us have taken sides and divided ourselves along racial lines. Twitter exploded with the hashtag Black Lives Matter, and can I tell you, there's a true statement in that, because indeed all lives matter, all races matter, all ages matter, all people matter. And so it's fitting for us to take a Sunday and recognize the sanctity of human life, and we'll do that. However, I must echo the words of a former professor of mine and current president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission by saying, "I hate Sanctity of Human Life Sunday." And he writes in an article, Dr. Russell Moore writes this, "I don't hate Sanctity of Human Life Sunday because I think it's somehow unbiblical. No, indeed, the entire canon of God's Word throbs with God's commitment to the fatherless and to the widows, His wrath at the shedding of innocent blood. I don't hate it because I think it's inappropriate. Just as every Lord's Day should be Easter, and the proclamation of resurrection Jesus, and Christmas with the announcement of the incarnation, the birth of Christ, so every Lord's Day should highlight the worth and dignity of human life." He continues to write, "I hate Sanctity of Human Life Sunday because I'm reminded that we have to say things to one another that human beings shouldn't have to say. Mothers shouldn't kill their children. Fathers shouldn't abandon their babies. No human life is worthless, regardless of skin color, age, disability, economic status. The very fact that these things must be proclaimed is a reminder of the horrors of this present darkness." He concludes by saying this, "We will always need Christmas. We'll always need Easter, but I hope, please Lord, someday soon, that Sanctity of Human Life Day is unnecessary." This morning, our message is entitled, Life Matters. Life matters. And I want you to know that. Life matters this morning. Children's lives matter. Minorities' lives matter. The unborn's lives matter. The Christian's life matters. The Muslim, the Jehovah's Witness, the Buddhist, the Hindu, the Mormon, their lives matter. The atheist, his life matters. Your life this morning matters. It is important. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10, we see Jeremiah was uncertain about whether or not his life mattered, whether it meant anything. Did he have a purpose? Did he have value? Was he able to accomplish anything? And the Lord answers strongly to him, Jeremiah, your life matters. Read with me, if you will, in Jeremiah chapter 1. We'll start in verse 4 and read through verse 10. The word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. But I protested, oh no, Lord God, look, I don't know how to speak since I am only a youth. Then the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for you will go to everyone I send you to and speak whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to deliver you. This is the Lord's declaration. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and told me, I have now filled your mouth with my words. See, I have appointed you today over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish, to build and to plant. This morning, I want you to know that your life matters. It is important and it has meaning. And just as the testimony of Ashley Bridges proclaimed, her purpose in life was protection for her kids. Your purpose in life is God ordained as well. I want to look this morning at three ways that we know your life matters. Three topics I want to hit on that we know your life matters. The first thing we must realize is that your life is deliberate. Your life is deliberate. It was on purpose. There were no accidents. Now, some of you guys, I know you kind of nudged your brother or sister if you're sitting next to them and you said, Mom said you were an accident. You know, I realize some of us were accidents, right? My mom had three accidents. She has three children. They were all accidents, right? But I promise you, if she could go back in time, she would do it on purpose again. Well, maybe two out of the three. I'm not sure where I fit in on that, you know. Listen, you may have been an accident to your mom and dad, but there are no accidents with God. Your life was not an accident. You were planned. Your life is deliberate. Look what God tells Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 4. Read this with me again. He says, the word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. You know, just as he did to Jeremiah, just as he did to his prophet, God planned you. He formed you with his own hands. Look what he tells Jeremiah, I formed you in the womb. This is an active God who saw you before you existed and put his hands on you and created you and made you. There are no accidents. Every single one of us matter because your life is deliberate. God doesn't have accidents. He is perfect in every way. There are no surprises. He knew you would become who he created you to be. God was not and is not surprised at how you turned out. He knew you would run from him. He knew you would turn away. He knew you would make his heart ache, and yet he created you anyways. He knew we would all reject him, every single one of us. He knew we would be, the Bible says, his enemies. He knew that we would run as far away as we could, and yet he created us anyways. Some of us imagine that God is up there going, I created Adam and Eve, it works great, and I like his children, but I really wasn't expecting that one to come along. That one really took me by surprise. Now, if any kid has ever taken anyone by surprise, it's Ashton. But I'm pretty sure God even planned Ashton's birth, okay? God doesn't make accidents. He knew we would be how we are. He created you, and he knew that you would reject him. He knew that you would run from him. He knew that you would turn away. He knew that you would be his enemy. And he created you anyways. God's creative work is deliberate, and it reminds us that our lives matter. Your life matters. You didn't just stumble mysteriously into existence. There wasn't some cosmic explosion that randomly created your group of cells. You were created on purpose, deliberately. And we know because of that, that your life matters. But secondly, we know even more than our life being deliberate. I know that your life has value. Your life has value. Callie and I went to the eye doctor on Friday. The optometrist came in and he was great. He really was. I had my contacts out. I couldn't see him, so I'm assuming he was a nice-looking gentleman. And he was just teasing Callie back and forth, asking her all sorts of questions, asking her about her eyes, asking her about her age, her grade. He asked her how many boyfriends she has, and she said, none. And he said, oh, three boyfriends. That's good. That's a good number. You know, no, I don't have any boyfriends. Well, after talking to her, he looked at me and he said, well, what do you think, Dad? You think you'll keep her? I said, I don't know. The verdict's still out. We'll see what we do. And then without missing a beat, boy, he was quick. He said, well, I bet she's worth at least $50 on eBay, you know. And we're kind of joking back and forth and going. It wasn't until later we got in the car, and Callie knew he was teasing. But she looked at me and she said, Dad, you never sell me. I'd cost infinity, you know. You know, she's right. She's right. What is the value of a human being? What is the value of a person? How do you put a value? How much are we worth? You know, there are two extremes that we have to avoid in asking this question. How much are we worth? For some of us, we can be so wrapped up in our self-esteem, so much in our own value that we become prideful and arrogant. We can swing to one side that says, my life is so valuable that it's more valuable than anybody else's, and all that matters is me. But many people go to the opposite side. And instead of valuing themselves at all, they swing to the other end of the pendulum and you devalue yourself so much that you have this point of depression and self-deprivation. You aren't worth anything, you think, because of the sin in your life or because the way you look or the way that you are. There's a balance somewhere in there. Finding our worth, there's a balance in finding what our value is. However, our value is most evident in our relationship to God. A few passages that we won't have time to flip to, but I want you to jot notes if you're a note taker to show us how we have value. One, we know we have value because Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says that we are made in God's image. We're created in the image of God. I don't even know fully what that means. I can give you some ideas and some thoughts. But here's the sum of what that means. You and I, above everything else in creation, were made more like God than anything else. You and I have God-like attributes. We are not God. We cannot be God. But we are relational like God. We are emotional like God. We are conscious like God. We are compassionate like God. We are made in His image. And that makes human beings, that makes you more valuable than the rest of creation. Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We were put together deliberately, and God took care in creating us. Have you ever looked in the creation account in Genesis to try to see how creation was made? You look and you see God breathed everything into existence. He spoke and it was there. God said, let there be light, and it was so. God said, let the waters collect. God said, let there be fish in the sea and birds in the air. God said, let there be creatures that crawl on the ground. God said, and it was so. And then He creates man. And as you read through the creation account in Genesis, God doesn't just speak, but He forms the dirt with His hands. He carefully crafts. Can God speak human beings into existence? He's God. He can do anything He wants. But He didn't. He took time and formed us, carefully crafted us to make Adam. And then again, hands on again to make Eve as he takes a rib from Adam's side and fashions Eve into this beautiful creature to be Adam's helpmate. We see God making us in this wonderful fashion. We have more value than the rest of creation. We were more than just spoke into existence. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. And then Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14 says that we are God's own possession. We belong to God, not in the sense of that God owns us as his slaves, but as in God owns us as his children. He loves us and he cares for us. We are his children and his possession. We belong to him. You know, God claims us. God wants us. God gives us value. What all these things have in common is that you were deliberately created by God. You have value, not because of who you are, but because God has given you value and worth. God is the one who gives us value, and he gives value to all lives, all people. It doesn't matter what race, what gender, or age you are, God values you. You know, Jeremiah wasn't sure that God valued him as a servant. And that's why he uses an excuse we find common in the Bible. Jeremiah says, "How can you use me? I'm too young. I can't speak well. I'm but a youth." Look with me in Jeremiah 1, if you're still there with me. In verse 7, again, the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a youth, for you will go to everyone I send you and speak whatever I tell you." Jeremiah has value because God gives him value. He is able because God gives him ability. Your life has value. I've always said that things are only worth what someone will pay for it. Have you heard that before? Things are only worth what someone will pay for it. I've got a collection of baseball cards. I don't know, 5 tubs or so. There's probably 8,000 to 10,000 baseball cards in there. There are none of them worth more than a nickel, you know. And Hannah's always on the time, always on me. You need to get rid of those things and sell them. Here's the truth. I don't want them. They're taking up space in my basement. But I can't find anybody who will give me more than $25 or $30 for the whole lot of them. And to me, I just can't fathom giving away all the years, slaving away as a child collecting baseball cards. It was hard work to, you know, get those from my parents. So I slaved away to collect this 5 tubs or so of baseball cards. I just can't imagine giving them away for $25, $30. The most I've been offered for them was $50 for all 5 tubs. And I know that they're worth more than that. Hannah keeps telling me, "Trey, you think they're worth more, but they're only worth what somebody will pay for it," right? It's only worth what somebody will pay for it. By the way, this is a part where if we take bids, anybody want to give, do I hear $75 for my baseball cards? $2? Is that what you said? You just got outbidded by me. I'll pay more than that for it. Things are only worth what someone's willing to pay for them. That's the principle of what our economic stability is founded on. And I think that is probably true. And so I think about our lives. What is the value of our life? Our life then is only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. I can't imagine being around in the time of slavery and having to determine whether or not your life was worth a certain amount of money more than someone else's. Whether it was worth me paying for your life. And yet we see our lives are valued in a very similar way by God based on what He is willing to pay. Think about the high price that God placed on our lives. The value that we have. The price that He paid was that He would send His own Son. That He would willingly sacrifice Jesus so that you and I could have lives that matter. Our life is valued immensely because of the price that God paid for us. We have value, but not because we have our own value, because God has given you value. So you look at this and you say, okay, lives matter, I get it. Our life is deliberate. Our life has value. So what? Why did God create me? Isn't that the $1 million question? Why am I here? Why does God value me? Why is it worth paying the price? Why does my life matter? It's because, as God shares with Jeremiah, your life has purpose. Your life has purpose. You were created for a reason. You were intentionally formed in fashion so that you could carry out the very thing God created you for. God doesn't work like my kids when they're coloring pictures. Ashton in particular, she used to crack me up when she would color things. She was writing and scribbling and scrabbling, and of course it was a mess. She was barely able to talk, let alone write or color, and she would just make marks all over the paper. And you'd ask her, "What are you drawing?" And she wouldn't really tell you anything. "What are you drawing?" I don't know, she just keeps scribbling. And when it's done, when it was completely done, she'd bring it to me. I'd say, "What is it?" Then she would look at it and start going, "Well, this over here is a bear, and this over here looks like a house, and this over here," and she would just, whatever it looked like is what it was, you know? That's what she was coloring, whatever it turned out to be. There was no purpose. She was just scribbling. She was just drawing. She was just writing and figuring it out later. Aren't you thankful God doesn't work that way? It's not as if God looked down and said, "Here you are, I've created you, I've made you in a mess, and I guess you'd be okay at doing this." God formed you deliberately. He gave you value because He gave you purpose. There is something He has called for you to do. Look at Jeremiah 1, verses 9 and 10. It says, "The Lord reached out His hand and touched my mouth and told me, 'I have filled your mouth with my words. See, I have appointed you today over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish, to build and to plant.'" God is looking at Jeremiah and saying, "I have a purpose for you. Your life has purpose. You're not created meaningless. You're not created with no gifts. You're not created for nothing. God has created you with purpose." There are two purposes. Two ways to look at the purpose that God has created you for. God has created you with a specific purpose and with a general purpose. He's given all creation a general purpose, and He's given you a specific purpose. I'll start with the specifics. If you want to know what God created you for, if you want to know exactly what it is God has made you for, there is no easy answer I can give you. You thought for a second I was going to tell you, didn't you? I saw some of you scooting to the edge of your seat. He's about to tell me. Because I did not create you. Thankfully, I did not create you. I'm not the one who gives you value. I don't know what your purpose is. But I do know that God gave you purpose. If you start digging through this book, you're not going to look down and find a verse that says, "Pastor Trey was created for fill in the blank." You're not going to find that. But I do know that you will read through Scripture and find that you have a specific purpose. The New Testament says we're all given gifts. We're all given spiritual gifts to be used to further the kingdom of God. You have been given a purpose. Your purpose may be pastoring. Your purpose may be teaching at church. Your purpose may be serving others in your job. Your purpose may be in being a mother or a father. Your purpose may be in something that none of us even understand. It may be something in the religious world, or it may be something in the secular world. God didn't just create people to work at a church. God created people to work, and He's given you a purpose. He's given you a goal, and your specific purpose is something that you need to ask God to show you. We don't have the benefit of Jeremiah. We don't have the benefit of God saying, "Here is what I want you to do, step by step." But instead, God has revealed to us a general purpose that all of us, every single one of us, are called to. And I can tell you what that purpose is, because clearly in Scripture, your life matters because your purpose is to glorify God. Every single one of us was created for that reason. The specifics of it and how that is accomplished is something I don't know for each and every person, but I know that our lives were deliberately created and given value so that we could worship and give glory to God. This morning, many of us in here feel like our lives have no meaning, that our lives don't matter, that we're insignificant and unimportant. As God tells Jeremiah, he tells you, your life is deliberate. God looks down and says, I have created you. Your life matters because I have given you value. Your life has purpose, and that purpose is to give me glory. And the only way we can give God glory is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no worship apart from a Savior. There is no glory apart from us receiving grace. There is no way for us to fulfill our purpose and our destiny without first and foremost stopping and saying, Lord, I need your salvation. Our lives matter because God has given us a purpose. And what He wants more than anything for us today is to realize that we need to make Him our Lord and our Savior. We make Him our Savior in saying, Lord, I know that I fall short. I know that I'm not perfect, and I know that I make mistakes. I know that I sin and I err. There are things that are wrong that I need to correct, and I can't do it on my own. Lord, will you forgive me for those things? Will you save me from my sin? And then we say on top of that, we don't stop short there. We say, and God, I make you my Lord. I trust you. Your ways are better than my ways. I don't know how to live this life, but I know you do. And I will trust that what you say is right, and I will follow you. And in that moment, your life makes a difference. Your life has purpose, and you are fulfilling what you were created for. This morning, I want you to know that your life matters, that Jesus Christ gives you value, and that nothing else makes Him happier than when you step back and say, I will fulfill my purpose by yielding to His salvation. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning as we come to our time of invitation. Lord, we ask you to show us where we have value. We ask you to show us how important every life is. Lord, the life of those who believe in you are important, but help us not forget the life of those who do not believe in you. We're still created in your image. We're still created deliberately. They're still people of value that you died for, and that they still have a purpose waiting to be fulfilled in a relationship with you. Lord, this morning, let us value each other. Let us value the lives around us because you value us, because you give us that worth. Lord, I pray this morning that each one of us would fulfill the purpose that you've created us for. The specifics, Lord, I can't say for each person, but I know you created me to give you glory. I know you created each one in here to give you glory, to worship you. We pray now that we would each examine our hearts and ask ourselves whether we know you as our personal Lord and Savior, whether we can fulfill that purpose in Christ. For those that say, I've never accepted Christ, I've never thought about yielding my life, I've never thought about asking for forgiveness and then promising to follow what your word says for me, I pray that you would convict hearts and help us to see our need for salvation. Lord, for those who are fulfilling that purpose in salvation, let us value the lives around us. Let us love one another. Let us not look down on others, but let us value the life that you've given each individual. Lord, we pray now that you would help us to worship you as we were created to do. It's in your name we pray. Amen.